Deuteronomy 6:14, the word says, "You shall not follow other gods, any of the gods of the peoples who surround you." Then Deuteronomy 13:4 says, "You shall follow the Lord," who? "Your God, and fear him. And you shall keep his commandments, listen to his voice, serve him, and cling to him." Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful that we can gather together today in your house to worship you, Lord, and to celebrate who you are and to learn about you through your word. And I pray, God, that you would help us, that you would capture our mind and our hearts this morning. Father, there's a lot of false gods that are out there whispering into our ears. So, Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would begin to penetrate our hearts and our minds, and that you'd give us ears to hear, that we would hear your truth today, for your word is true. Lord, help me to be a plain preacher this morning, so plain that a child could understand. Out of everyone here this morning, I'm held most accountable in their strict judgment on my life, and I accept that place in rightly dividing your word of truth. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And the question this morning of today's message is, who do you follow? Who do you follow? Now, how many of y'all have a Facebook page out there? Raise your hand. Okay, you got Facebook. How many of y'all got a Twitter account? You got Twitter, okay. And on Facebook, you know, you have friend and unfriend, and then Twitter you can follow or unfollow. And so I got some statistics, and this is from, I believe, the website was called Twitterholics.com. And found out the top 10 followers, the top 10 that have the greatest following. You ready? Does anybody want to take a stab at the number one person in America that is being followed? Huh? Doug, are you following him? Justin Bieber. How'd you know that, Doug? I tell you what, give it up for Doug. He's got Bieber fever over there. Justin Bieber, he's got over 40 million followers. Next in line is Lady Gaga, and then Katy Perry, and then Barack Obama, he's number four, then Rihanna, I think that's how you pronounce that, Taylor Swift, and then YouTube, number seven, Britney Spears is number eight, Justin Timberlake is number nine, and Shakira is number 10. So there are the top 10 people that we follow. And so I believe that the majority of America were not following the right voice. Would you agree? Because the world in Hollywood, they're not going to tell us what the Word of God says. They're not going to tell us the ways of God. And so this morning, we got to ask ourselves, who do you follow? Who do I follow? Who do I follow? Because that's very important that we understand that we follow the right people. I went on and looked at about out of 200 people, I could not find anyone that people were following that had some type of an evangelical, Bible-believing worldview. Now, the Dalai Lama was in there in the top 100. And so I'm here today to tell you that the majority of the voices that are speaking today aren't speaking the truth of God's word. And so we have got to be very careful who we listen to and who we follow, that we are following God. Deuteronomy told us, don't follow any other what? Gods. Why? Because I'm the Lord your God. I'm the one who brought you out of Egypt. I'm the one who took you out of the chains of slavery. Serve me and only me. And today, Jesus would say, I'm the one who came. I lived. I died. I rose again. I saved you. Follow no other gods out there. Follow me. One of the problems, I believe, in the church world is that we have been interested in developing leaders. And so we have leadership conferences, and we put on these leadership conferences for pastors to go to and all this stuff. And when I look at the Bible, I don't read anything in Scripture that talks about developing leaders. What I read in Scripture is about developing followers. Jesus didn't call us to be leaders. He called us to be followers. And so this morning, what I want to challenge you with is this view that we don't need more leaders. We need more followers in this world. And that Jesus Christ himself was the greatest follower in the world. And because he was a great follower and he followed the Father, we are to follow the Son. Jesus is our example. So Jesus came and he lived and he was 100% man, 100% God, 100% of the time. In the beginning, God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. When Jesus was birthed on earth, that wasn't when he came into being. Jesus was co-eternal with the Father, okay? And so when he came into being, he took on humanity. He was 100% man, 100% God, 100% of the time. And while he was on the earth, he was obedient to the Father. He obeyed the Father. He was the greatest follower on earth. He got baptized. So he goes, John sees him, "Behold, the Lamb of God. I'm not even worthy to baptize you." He says, "No, this must be done." Why? Because this was the Father's plan. And so Jesus, he didn't need to be baptized, but he was. And so he got baptized. Why? In obedience to the Father, because he was obeying the Father. He was a follower of God, the Father. He's God the Son, and he set the example of what it means to be a follower. And then he lived up throughout his ministry, and throughout his ministry he was doing what the Father pleased. And when he was baptized, they said that the Holy Spirit came down in the form likened to a dove, and you heard a voice speak out of heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am what? Well pleased." There was another moment on the mountain of transfiguration when Peter, James, and John was with Jesus, and then Jesus was transfigured. He was in his glorified state, and there's a voice came from heaven and said, "This is my Son, listen to him." Jesus, in John chapter 8, verse 23, John 8, 23, he's speaking to the Pharisees, and he says this. He is saying to them, "You are from below, I'm from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world." He says, "Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." He was telling them that. That is still true today. That if we don't come and believe in him, we will die in our sins, because Jesus is the way of grace and forgiveness. So they were saying to him, "Well, who are you?" And Jesus said to them, "What have I been saying to you from the beginning? I have many things to speak and to judge concerning you. But he who sent me," who sent Jesus? The Father, okay? "So he who sent me is true. And the things which I," what? "Heard from" who? From him. Who's the him? The Father. "The things that I heard from him, the Father, these I speak to the world." You see what Jesus is doing? He is following and obeying who? The Father. He says, "What I heard my Father say is what I said." They did not realize that he had been speaking to them about the Father in verse 28. So Jesus said, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he. And I do nothing," watch this, underline this verse. This is huge, this is big. "I do nothing" on what? "On my own initiative." "I do nothing on my own initiative," it said, "but I speak these things as" who taught him? "The Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do," underline that again, underline that part, "I always do the things that are pleasing" to who? Him. Who's the him? The Father. You see that? Jesus was the greatest follower that has ever lived because he followed the Father. Why did Jesus die? Okay, because see, most time, and I'm not taking away his love for us, okay? Don't hear me say that. I'm not saying that he didn't die because he loved us, but his primary reason why Jesus died on the cross was because he loved his father. Because he was faithful to the Father. See, the Bible says, for God the Father loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have what? Everlasting life. And so the Father sent the Son into the world to accomplish redemption and salvation for humanity, for those who would repent and believe and trust in him. And Jesus' life motto and way of life was to say, whatever the Father, whatever you want me to do, Father, I'll do it. And he is obedient to the Father. When John chapter 14, verse 31, Jesus had his disciples together, and he was telling them, he was preparing them for his crucifixion. And before this moment, he says to them, he says, but so that the world may know that I love who? The Father. So that the world may know that I love the Father, I do what? Exactly as the Father commanded me. He says, get up, let's go from here. He's about ready to approach the last weeks of his life. And why and what is the way of his life is to be obedient and to obey and to follow who? His Father. And so Jesus followed the Father. And the way to the Father is through his Son. And so now, as Jesus obeyed and followed the Father, we, the children of God, saved by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, are to obey and follow Jesus. Just as Jesus followed and obeyed the Father, we are to follow Christ. Does that make sense? So here's what we're going to ask some questions. So who do we follow, church? Jesus. Okay, so we follow Jesus. Well, what type of people follow Jesus? What type of people follow Jesus, and how do we follow Jesus? Well, those are some good questions, aren't they? I'm glad you asked those questions, because you know what? I've got some answers about those questions, so we'll talk about that. You ready? So what type of people follow Jesus? Well, let's go to Scripture and let's look at the people that Jesus called. We're going to look at these same passages. We're going to look at what type of people follow Jesus, and we're also going to answer the question of how they follow Jesus in these passages. You ready? Mark chapter 1, verse 16. If you're excited to be here, say amen. Mark 1:16 says, as he was going along by the Sea of Galilee, this is Jesus, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, what? Follow me. See, he wants followership. Yep. So we just make up words around here. He's not interested in leadership, he's interested in followership. He wants you to follow him. And he comes to the people. It's interesting that Jesus didn't go first to the synagogues and pick the cream of the crop and ask who has the theological seminary degree and the highest GPA of that day. And, he went to common everyday men. He did have a religious guy in his group, though. He was a zealot, and he actually betrayed Jesus. So you got to be careful about those religious people. Amen. Now, he says, what? Follow me, and I will make you what? Fishers of men. I'm going to change the direction of your life. I'm going to change your direction of your life. This is huge. Underline this word. We'll talk about it here in just a moment. Immediately, they what? They left their nets, and they followed who? Jesus. They followed him. See that word? Who do you follow is the question today. Going on a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were also in the boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants, and they went away to what? Follow him. Follow Jesus. And think about that. Now, as a father, I read this a little different. It hits me a little different now, because I kind of put myself in Zebedee's shoe a little bit, you know? And this is what I was raising my boys to become, because they had kind of an apprenticeship type of life where you did what the father did. And so he's raising his sons up to be fishermen. They were going to take over the family business, right? They're in the boat. They're with their dad. And Jesus comes along and says, hey, I want you to follow me. And they left their father. They left their future. They left their business. They left their financial security. And they went and followed Jesus. Mark chapter 2, verse 13 says, "And he went out again by the seashore, and all the people were coming to him, and he was teaching them." In verse 14, "As he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus." This is also, he's also called Matthew. He was in a tax booth. He was a tax collector. People didn't like him. He was a Jew who had sided up with the Roman government and was taking money from his own people. They didn't like tax collectors. You know, he worked for the IRS. You know, we still don't like tax collectors much today. And so here's a guy that's not well liked. The people would shun him. His own people would reject him. They wouldn't want him at their parties. They wouldn't be inviting Levi to their home for dinner. But Jesus goes to Levi, this tax collector, the people that had been considered a turncoat on his own people, and he says to him, "What? Follow me." See, some of you today, you think, well, God would never love me, or God would never call me to follow him. And he'll call anybody that's willing to lay down their life and follow him. And so today, the Holy Spirit's going to speak. He's going to speak to some of your hearts, because some of you have not surrendered your life to Jesus. You've not given him lordship of your life. And he's going to ask you to come and follow me. And you can lay down your life and go and follow him and be like Matthew. And in Luke's gospel, it tells us that Levi, he left everything and followed him. You see, we have to follow Jesus and love him more than anyone or anything. So the question of how do we follow Jesus? What type of people can follow Jesus? What type of people? Anyone. Anyone who is willing to submit and understand that he is Lord and they're not, and surrender to his ways and not their ways. Anyone can follow Jesus, right? How do we follow Jesus? Well, let's look at back how they did it. It says they left and they followed him immediately, right? They didn't have to think about it. Peter went like, well, let me think about it. Let me look at my 401k and see if it's safe to follow you. Let me make sure everything's all right. No, Jesus said, follow me. And they said, we'll follow you. He said to Levi, follow me. He leaves everything and follows him. He wants your complete heart, your complete trust. He doesn't want you half in and half out. Where I'm from, we used to have a phrase called riding the fence. Anybody here ever heard that? Riding the fence. Riding the fence is where you got one foot on one side and one on the other. Jesus says, you're all in or you're all out. He doesn't want you riding the fence. You either serve me or don't follow me. But I'm calling followers who will lay everything down and say, I will follow you, Jesus, and I will trust you. Even if it means giving up your family to follow Jesus. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 34, Jesus says, do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man against his father, and a daughter against his mother, and a daughter-in-law against his mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be the members of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not what? Worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not what? Worthy of me. He who has found his life will lose it, and who has lost his life for my sake will what? Find it. What's Jesus saying? He's saying that I am to be totally your God. No one else. No one, no thing needs your utmost devotion. Does that mean we're not supposed to be good husbands or wives? Absolutely not. Does that mean we're not supposed to be good parents? Absolutely not. But what it does mean is we are not to love anyone more than we love Jesus. You know, there's some parents who worship their children. There's some parents who try to live their lives through their children. That's idolatry. There's some husbands who worship their wives and wives who worship their husbands. That is idolatry. You are to worship Jesus. We are to follow Jesus and no one else. So what type of people get to follow Jesus? Anyone who will lay down their life and say, Jesus, you're Lord. I'm not. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Save me. And is willing to just lay it all down and say, Jesus, wherever you want me to go, I'll go. Whatever you want me to say, I'll say. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do. I'm yours. That's how we follow Jesus. Well, why do we follow Jesus? Why does the believer, why did the disciples follow Jesus the way that they followed Jesus? And why should we follow Jesus? Look in John chapter 10, starting in verse 1. This is John chapter 10, starting with verse 1. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the field of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. There's one way to the Father, church, and that's through who? The Son, Jesus, okay? But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep," what? "Hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out." That's a pretty neat picture, isn't it? That he knows his sheep. He calls them by name. As they come through, they're like, "Oh, there's Doug. Bieber fan." No, I'm just kidding. "There's Doug. There's Tammy, you know. There's old Sid. There's Chelsea." He calls me. He knows you by name. He knows his sheep by name. And he leads them out. Verse 4. "When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them. And the sheep," what? "They follow him. Because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of the strangers." We know the voice of Jesus. The Christian knows the voice of Jesus. Because why? We know him. This is a personal relationship with God. This is not just knowing about Jesus. This is actually knowing Jesus. And it's completely different, okay? It's not about putting your name on a church roll and being a member of a church. It's about knowing Jesus. And a true child of God, they know him. They just don't know about him. They know him and they hear his voice and they will not listen to a stranger. Jump down to verse 24. It says, "Then the Jews then gathered around him and they were saying to him, 'Well, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly.' And Jesus answered them, 'I told you and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, these testify to me.'" He says, "But you do not believe because you're not of my sheep." Now watch what he says. "My sheep, my sheep, my sheep," what? "They hear my voice and I know them and they," what? "Follow me and I give eternal life to them." Aren't you glad that we can know that we have eternal life in Jesus Christ? Because in a world of so much things that are uncertain, there is one certain thing that we can know, that we know, that we know that we're saved. And that if we die today, we're going to heaven. Why? Because Jesus gives us eternal life, not temporary life, not a hope to be eternal life, but he gives us eternal life. That's something to celebrate. You can't get that at Walmart, folks. The world can't buy that. That comes through Jesus. He says, "I give them eternal life and they will" what? "Never perish." And no one, there's not one person, no thing that will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. And I and the Father are one. If you are a child of God, he's got you right by the in the palm of his hand. And he's never going to let go. That's good news today. John 15:14, Jesus says, "That you are my friends if you do what I command you." So why do we follow Jesus? We follow Jesus because we know him and we love him. And because we love him, we will obey him. Just as the Father obeyed the Son obeyed the Father, we are to obey the Son. So we're to obey Jesus. Does that make sense? So who gets to follow Jesus? Anyone willing to lay down their life. How are we to follow Jesus? With complete abandonment. Why do we follow Jesus? Because we know him and we love him. And he's our God and he's our King. The next question is where? Well, where do we follow Jesus? Where do we follow him? Matthew 28, 19. This is called the Great Commission. Matthew 28, 19. He says to go, therefore, and what? Make disciples, make followers, make disciples, he says, of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. This word go is a continual process. It's actually as you are going, make disciples. Make disciples. Make followers. As you go, make followers. So that means everywhere in any place can be a moment to share about Jesus. Does that make sense? Do you know that people don't have to get saved just in church? Isn't that wild and weird and crazy? I mean, just yesterday I was able to visit a guy in the hospital, and he gave his life to the Lord right there in the hospital. Wow, what do you know? A divine appointment there at St. Joseph. What do you think? You realize that you could be at Walmart and somebody could be sitting there trying to pick out the freshest bread they can. You know, they're sitting there pushing on all that bread and trying to find them a good loaf. And you come up to them and you start talking to them, and God's been working on their heart, and conversation stirs, and they break on you, and you get to tell them about Jesus, that you can lead them to Jesus right there at Walmart. Are you aware of that? We are to make disciples everywhere we go. That's why missions is important. That's why we go globally, but we also go locally. And we go everywhere we go, we're to make disciples. Acts 1:8 says it like this. And if you were back in Grassy Lick and you went through the whole Acts series, you ought to know this verse, okay? Acts 1:8. But you will receive what? Power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my what? Witnesses. Where? In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even to the uttermost parts of the world. So what's he saying? You follow me everywhere I send you. When you get up in the morning, you pray to your God. You crack open the book to hear him speak. You commit that day to him and say, Lord, this is the day you have made. I will rejoice and I'll be glad in it. Now, some of you, you've got a plan for your day, but I'm going to ask you to throw your plan away. I mean, you do what you got to do, but you allow Jesus to have control of your plans. And so you say, Lord, I got to go to work today, but as I go to work, use me any way that you see fit. When I come back home, you use me any way you see fit. When I'm pumping gas, use me. You see we fit. Wherever I'm at, you use me. Anywhere and any way, everywhere I go, I'm going to be used by Jesus Christ. So that is the where we follow. What about when? When do we follow Jesus? Do we follow Jesus just when it's convenient? Do we just follow Jesus on Sunday morning, 11 to 12:30, 1 o'clock, or 9? Matthew 8, verse 18. Now when Jesus saw a crowd around him, he gave orders to depart to the other side of the sea. I just think this is kind of wild. I mean, here's a big crowd starting to form around Jesus. He's like, all right, let's go to the other side. Jesus is not impressed with crowds. Man's impressed with crowds. It's not about how big this church can get. We don't forecast a number and say, hey, we're hoping to reach, you know, have this many people in our church by this and this year. Because Justin Bieber can have a crowd. Lady Gaga can have a crowd. We're not about how big we can get. We're not interested in building a huge crowd. What we're interested in is teaching people about Jesus and unleashing followers of Jesus through the doors of this church that will make a flood of influence in this city for the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what we're concerned about. We want to see followers of Jesus Christ go out into the world and introduce people to Jesus so that they can become followers of Jesus. So then they in turn can go out there to their lost friends, their lost neighbors, their lost loved ones, tell them about the Messiah, the Savior of the world, so that they can follow Jesus and we can have a whole group of people following Jesus. That's the purpose of the church. And so, Jesus wants true followers. He doesn't want you just half in, half out. He calls you to full-hearted devotion. There was a scribe that came to him in Matthew 8, verse 19. They came to him and he says, "Teacher," he says, "I will follow you wherever you go." Now, if Jesus was a great Baptist preacher, what he would have done right there, he said, "Well, sir, man, I'm so glad you are going to be head of the committee, of this committee, of this committee." And he would assign him the duties, and that would have been enough said. "Lord, I will do whatever, I'll go wherever you want to go." "Well, sign him up." But here's what Jesus said. "The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." So you sure about that? You sure you're willing to follow me anywhere and everywhere I go? Before you do, let me tell you something. It's not easy. It's not easy following Jesus. The Christian life is not an easy life. It's not for wimps. You got to be tough. Because you know why? You got to die to self to live for him. And that old Grant, sometimes, he raises his ugly head every once in a while. And he fights against the spirit. Anybody have the old you in you? Those of you Christian, you got the old you that you wrestle with sometimes still? You got to put to death the deeds of the flesh. Another disciple, verse 21, says, "Lord, permit me first to go bury my father." And Jesus says, "Follow me and allow the dead to bury their own dead." So that didn't sound very nice. Jesus doesn't want half-hearted devotion. He wants fully devoted followers to him. So when do we follow? We follow always. Not just when it's convenient, but all the time. Not just when I don't have any other plan on my agenda, but all the time. Matthew 19, verse 21. There was a guy that came up to Jesus and he said, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus says, "You know the commandments." This part isn't on the screen. He says, you know the commandments. He says, "I've kept the commandments since I've been a youth." And then what Jesus says is, "If you wish to be complete," he says, "go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." You see, this guy, he was wealthy. And he came up to Jesus and he said, "I have kept the law perfectly." What, you know, he was trying to make himself look really good. And so Jesus is letting him carry on. And then what Jesus did was that he put his thumb right on the God of this man's life. Because he hadn't kept the entire law. He hadn't kept the Ten Commandments because he broke the very first one. Because the very first one says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." And this young man, his God was his money. And so what Jesus wanted to know is, do you love me more than you love your money? And so that's why he told this man in particular to go sell what you have and then come follow me. And the Bible says that the man walked away. The literal Greek of that means that his face fell. He walked away and his face fell because he had much wealth. He was unwilling to give that God up to serve Jesus as God. John chapter 6, Jesus had been teaching, and gathering a crowd, disciples, people were following him. And in John 6, he breaks out into a message. In John 6, it tells us that he had just fed 5,000 people with just some loaves and fish, okay? And so people are like, wow, this guy's pretty awesome. I mean, he fed 5,000 people with just a few loaves and a few fish. And they were following him. Now watch. In John 6, then in verse 26, Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. He says, some of you, you're following me, not because you believe in who I am, but because of what I did for you. He says, your fathers, they ate the manna in the desert, and they died. He says, I am the true manna. I am the true bread from heaven. If anyone eats my flesh, he'll live. If anyone will drink my blood, he will live. And some of the people hearing that day, they began saying, this is a hard teaching. This is a hard saying. I don't know if I can really go on with this guy any longer. And so they hit the unfollow button or the defriend button, and they walk away. Verse 66 of John 6. As a result of this, it says, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. They chose not to follow him anymore. Said, I can't handle what he's saying. I ask you today, who do you follow? Amen. Jesus then turns around to his 12 closest disciples. He says, you do not want to go away also, do you? You want to leave? Peter, James, John, you want to leave now? Is this the time you want to quit following as well? And Simon Peter answered, said, Lord, whom shall we go? Where can we go? For you have words of eternal life. There's nowhere else to go, Jesus. We have believed and we have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. That would be my prayer for everyone in this house today, that you would know Jesus as the Holy One of God. Before we have an invitation and before we have an appeal, I want you to watch this video. After we watch this video, the praise team is going to come and they're going to lead us in a time of invitation. But let's watch this and then we'll respond. Lord, I pray that everyone in this place, that we would follow you, God. And Lord, there's some of us have trusted in you, and we're your child, and you've saved us, Lord, but maybe we're not following you like we know we should. Or maybe there's some here are like Peter, and they feel like they have failed miserably. When they said they would not abandon you, they have. And so, God, I pray that they would maybe come today and just recommit, Lord. Confess, Lord, that they're not living the way that they know they should. But from now on, from this day forward, they will honor you, obey you, and they will serve you, and they will follow you. Jesus, there's a man, there's a woman here. They don't know you. They've never surrendered in faith to you. And so today you speak and you say, come, follow me. I pray that you'd enable them, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, to step out and say, you know what? I'm going to leave the God of self and follow the true God of heaven, Jesus, and I'll worship him. Father, do your work. Have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.